The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
To Exploring the Word, I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper today, and I have to tell you, it's a privilege to be back behind the microphone. Joining me today is my good friend, Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, brother, it's just a privilege to be with you again.
Well, what a joy. And I greet you from North Carolina. And this is Exploring the Word. We're going to continue in 1 Peter. We're going verse by verse through this wonderful New Testament book. But folks, this is a very monumental and frankly special day. Jim Stanley has been a part of this show from way back. And, you know, earlier this year, we were at a convention down in Texas. And Jim had some health issues, and we prayed fervently. In fact, on this show live, Bert Harper and I prayed for Jim Stanley, and we just said, Lord, we need him. And Lord, if it pleases you, he can't go home just yet. Mm. And so, Brother Jim, to have you back on Exploring the Word is very special. We love you. Listeners everywhere appreciate you as well. And so, thanks for being with us today, sir.
Yes, sir, and I look back to being on board more times. Not that I'm wanting any of you guys to miss any, but as available and as needed, I'll be happy to try and do what I can. Man, I tell you, you know, you think about that, the end of February, and now we're into the end of September, and it's just, it really has been a long road. I was at cardiac therapy this morning, physical therapy this morning, and was going through some of the stages there and everything. And so, you know, it's one of the things here that in 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse 11, where I believe we'll pick up today, although yes, sir, it would not hurt my feelings if you went back a couple of verses. But it says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may glorify your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And, you know, Alex, looking back over the last 64 years of my life, it was some of my fleshly lust that got me in trouble to the point that I had the heart problem that I have. And it's the deliverance of God that brought me through that. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that I believe it's the prayer of you and friends and believers that changed it, that saved my life, because we were at the turning point there in the hospital where it was going to go on one of the rebreathers or to stay off of it and have a 50-50 chance as to whether or not I would live. Well, I never wanted to be on a ventilator.
Right,
never.
Of course.
And so my family was troopers. And my daughter told them, she is my caregiver. She's the my wife does a great job too. Don't misunderstand me, but my daughter is as hard headed as I am, and she won't take if somebody's wanting to do something she knows I wouldn't want. She's going to stand against them. And so, I thank you as friends, and Alex, I even I really believe because you were fervent in your prayers, and I was grateful for that on a personal level, too. So well, in 1 Peter, go ahead, brother, I'm sorry.
Well, and by the way, I can see you on the Zoom video. For those watching on the stream, I can tell that you have lost a substantial amount of weight, and your discipline inspires us, Jim, and we give God the glory for that. And yeah, Bert and I, you know, we go way back. For those that are new to Exploring the Word, this show has been on a little over 15 years. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, and my whole career with AFA, which just Angie and everybody will tell you, this is absolutely the core of my heart, this ministry and American Family Association. And it was you, the first AFA person with whom I ever spoke was Jim Stanley. And through Jim, I met Tim Wildman, and here we are, 15 years, 3,000 radio shows later, hundreds and hundreds of people who've come to Christ. And so, yeah, to say that Jim Stanley is pretty near and dear to my heart is an understatement. So we rejoice. And like you say, you're being a good steward of your life and your body, and all of us need to do that as well, because we need to stay in the land of the living as long as we can so that we can live out Christ's great commission.
Amen. Amen. You know, you mentioned that you see I've lost some weight. It's funny you say that, because today is the official loss of 100 pounds. It's
wow.
been back and forth there.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, man, I tell you.
That is quite an accomplishment.
Well, some of the diet plan I would not recommend. Let me just say that. If you can avoid the 28 days in the or 18 days in the hospital, just go ahead and you know, leave that part of it off, and everything else will be pretty good after that. So,
to what degree, Jim, let me ask, if you don't mind me asking,
sure.
How much has prayer played a role in this journey?
Oh, brother, I have to believe it's been a key role in it. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, when I text somebody and I tell them that I believe their intervention in prayer is what stayed God's hand from taking me on home because of my ignorance, you know, man, that's not something I'm just saying. I sent that to a couple of folks who I know prayed for me in earnest, and that, you know, if I'd had everybody's number, I would have probably texted something to that effect of thanking them. I know I did thank folks on Facebook one time, but all of that seems so, you know, secondhand, if you will. But knowing that people are praying for you, knowing that they want what God's best for you is, and knowing that they're holding you up day in and day out, regardless of how ignorant I can be, man, that I'm telling you, I've got some good people praying for me.
100 pounds. Jim, that is such an accomplishment. I commend you, brother.
Well, I'm going for 150, so that's what's next. That's when the next official report will come.
Well, we look forward to celebrating with you. And, you know, I think about this not only life but healing. Now, we're in 1 Peter 2. We will eventually get to 2 Peter. But in 2 Peter 1:4, it talks about that God has given us great and precious promises.
Mm.
And I think about that, folks, as we continue on, and we're going to talk about I'll just cue this up a little bit, and I want you to reflect on those great and precious promises from the dear Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And by the way, I got the old King James here, but it says a peculiar people. And what that really means is His own special choice. Jim, did you ever know or hear of, he's long since gone to heaven, J. Vernon McGee?
Yes, sir.
I remember I was a brand new believer. I was driving in the car one day. I almost ran off the road. I was laughing so hard. J. Vernon McGee, and Google him, folks. He was great. He was reading this verse, and he was like, "A holy nation, a peculiar people." And he said, "Friends, some are more peculiar than others." It was funny.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, we are that chosen generation, and so God has a plan for all of our lives. Let's go down there, and he talks about we obtained mercy. We were not a people. In other words, we were like orphans, verse 10. Now, in verse 11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul," against the soul. Those things, the devil tries to get us, doesn't he, through carnal, fleshly, earthly things that ultimately can be destructive spiritually.
Yes, sir. And you know, it's one of those things that our lust, desires of the lust that we have, the fleshly lust, if you will, those don't necessarily have to be of a sin nature. You know, I'm not talking about committing adultery. I'm not talking about going out and having, you know, premarital sex or after, you know, the different things that go on in our society. Sometimes our fleshly lust can be as simple as a piece of cake. Mm-hmm. And our fleshly lust can be that neighbor's pickup. You know, I was with someone just the other day, and it had to be a 2025 Jeep, and it was rocked out. And as I'm sitting there next to it, I'm looking at it and going, man, that's a nice Jeep. I looked at it again. I'm like, that's a really nice Jeep. And I'm just sitting here in this old pickup truck. Mm-hmm. But praise the Lord, that pickup truck's just about paid for. So,
yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Our lust can be anything.
Well, you know, verse 11 talks about abstaining from fleshly lust. And like you said, we might automatically assume that that's talking about something immoral. But the things which war against our soul, like materialism, mm-hmm. you know, if we get just consumed with, you know, envy over what the neighbor's got, and then maybe we get ourselves in a financial bind, which causes stress and worry and fear, the way we handle money mm-hmm. or mishandle can war against our soul. If we hold a grudge and we can't forgive somebody, or we get just, I guess, morbidly introspective about some past thing, there are a lot of things that can conspire to be a wedge between us and Jesus. And so we've got to sort of keep on the lookout at all times for the state of our heart, don't we?
We absolutely do. And, you know, you were talking about wars and the wars within. James 4:1 says, what is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from the cravings that are at war within you? And that's from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That was that translation. But, you know, again, and Romans 8:13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Well, brother, that's pretty straight talk, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. Verse 12 says, having your conversation, and that really, your manner of life, mm-hmm. honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they shall see, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's a lot here, but the word Gentiles, they're speaking about non-believers, speaking about those who don't know the Lord yet. And they might speak evil against you, but they see your manner of life, and they will give glory to God and respond to the gospel in the day of visitation. Now, what is, quote, the day of visitation? Well, it's when God calls out to somebody, and God makes himself known. And you want to be living so that if somebody is under conviction or somebody's thinking about Jesus, that they might see your life. And maybe, folks, your life is that thing that nudges them across the line and they open their heart to Jesus.
Amen. Folks, that's Dr. Alex McFarland. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper. And Exploring the Word continues right here on American Family Radio.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabriel, is thriving because her preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible? But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year. And they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides the ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabriel fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Lead on, good shepherd, step by step, day by day. Lead me on, Lord, I pray. Broken star, walk by faith. Lead on, good shepherd, lead on, good shepherd.
Lead on, good shepherd, that's a great song. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We are in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll continue there. Later on in the program, we will get to your phone calls and your Bible questions. We had a really great Fire Away Friday just a couple of days ago, Bert and I, and you can listen to all of the archive shows at AFR.net, as in AmericanFamilyRadio.net. Also, there's a station map of all the, we call them terrestrial radio stations all across America. You can maybe tell somebody somewhere about AFR and the great programming. And, of course, everything is streamed online as well. So familiarize yourself, if you would, with AFR.net. Now, before we get back to 1 Peter chapter 2, hey, Jim, I want to ask people to be in prayer, if you would. Please pray for Share-a-thon next week, and we only do this twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall, just a very, very brief amount of the broadcast year. But we invite everybody, ourselves included, to participate. And Jim, last week I was in the Jackson, Mississippi area, Carthage. We had a great area-wide evangelistic crusade. We met in a school auditorium. There were hundreds and hundreds of people, and many, many people made a salvation decision. In fact, on the last night, last Wednesday night, man, that prayer room was just full of young people, especially opening their heart to Christ. And I guess what I'm saying is all of the broadcasts, the publishing, the impact, my travel schedule and Bert, it's your prayers and your investment that makes all this possible, folks. Lives are being changed, souls are being saved. But for all, we sincerely thank you. And as we get towards Share-a-thon next week, please be in prayer that God's blessings will continue, that we can carry forth with the gospel message.
Amen. You know, Alex, as we get ready for that, as we're looking forward to it and the different things that will come out of that, one of the things that we have to be is grateful, because the listeners have been faithful throughout the years to help us meet the needs that we have to keep AFR going. Now, one thing I want to say that we're incredibly grateful for, and it may be a matter of pride if it is, you know, Lord, work with us on that, but we are 100% debt-free.
Amen.
And so we have people in leadership that are using your money, the monies that you give, wisely, that are using them to make sure we're doing what we need to do to keep the programming going out. We still look for new stations from time to time. Sometimes we trade stations, sometimes we buy a station. And so those are the things that our fellow believers help us do. And they do that during Share-a-thon. And I want you to know, I was this close to giving the number out, and I had to pull myself back, because we've been talking about Share-a-thon, but the number hadn't been going out. And you know how I was, man. It was like, let's give that number every 2 or 3 minutes. And that was the number one complaint from listeners, was that we either gave the number too fast or we didn't give it often enough. And so it's just funny that in my head, all of a sudden that clicked in like an old fire horse, I guess, that it was time to go. But no, we do appreciate your prayers for Share-a-thon. Please pray for those that will be traveling in, some of the volunteers, some of our program folks will be coming in. Alex, you're going to be here.
Yes.
And so is Angie coming with you?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. If we can find, we got to find somebody to look after Esther and Alexa.
Oh, okay.
And, but maybe. But I give God the glory. Bert and I, again, for the third time in about 5 or 6 years, we get to participate in that. A book we have written together will be a part of the Share-a-thon. Mm-hmm. And we'll be telling you about that next week. But you, dear listeners, your questions and your calls, you know, about 5 years ago, we did a book called 100 Bible Questions and Answers. And as far as we knew, that would be, you know, one and done. But then, a couple of years later, in conversations with Tim Wildman and Broad Street Publishing, we did 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. And that, too, was a gift during Share-a-thon. Well, we've got a third book, and I'm not going to unveil it just yet because it really, it's not going to be unveiled till October 7. But exploring the Word, and we just give God all the glory. But we've got a little bit of a role to play in how Share-a-thon will happen next week. And we truly think it'll be a blessing to each of you. But hey, let me read something from 1 Peter 2, and I'm going to pick up at verse 13. And I'll preface it by saying this. One of the things about Christians, we play by the rules. We are not lawbreakers or insurrectionists as part of our testimony. And it says this, and this is very much like Romans chapter 13, but it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance or the arguments of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now let's unpack this a little bit, because like verse 14, I mean, Peter wrote this, but it sounds so much like the Apostle Paul. Here's the thing. By being moral and lawful and godly, and we don't do wrong to try to do right. We live by the law. Now, if a government were trying to compel you to deny Jesus or, you know, commit heresy, civil disobedience for a righteous cause is a different thing. But it says in Romans 13, 1 through 7, and it says here in, you know, 1 Peter 2, 14, that just government punishes evildoers. Mm-hmm. And it says that if you're moral and lawful, you have nothing to fear. But actually, it says that they do not bear the sword in vain, but they are ministers of God. Now, here's my point. Paul says it, Peter says it too, that when a society is lawful and moral and stable, actually it contributes to the gospel. Because Jim, Bert and I have said it, you can more likely live out the gospel, carry out the Great Commission in a prosperous, stable society rather than in a war zone and chaos. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, as we look at this and we see how it's supposed to be, we also see where it's starting to drift some in America. Mm-hmm. And some of the governors aren't sent to punish the evildoers, because sometimes it looks like the governors are the evildoers. And so, you know, and it's not just in America, but as you look across around the world, it's happening in other places. So we need to get back to where we're electing leaders here in America that will do what's right simply because it's right.
Amen. It's right to do right. And, you know, Jim, not to get off topic here, but we've had judges and some governors mm-hmm. in states that just flat out said, nope, I'm not going to carry out the law. Well, listen, regardless of whether or not you're a Christian, it is in the best interest of all of us that we, as a constitutional republic, and by the way, next year is America's 250th birthday. And you think about it, folks, and no other nation in world history can claim this. For a quarter millennia, we've existed under a constitution, and it's been a nation of prosperity and stability and, to a large degree, safety, although that's been compromised in recent years as we've deviated from our moral foundation. And so I believe that God's people are lawful people. God's people understand the value, because it's like morals, morality, and we often say the Judeo-Christian ethic, but the Ten Commandments, but the moral foundation, it is the glue that holds the culture together. That's been compromised, but let's pray that it would be restored.
Amen. Well, Alex, as we look forward here in 1 Peter, the second chapter at verse 18, it talks about slavery. It talks about servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, mm-hmm. not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are, pardon me, still one of the things I'm working on there.
That's all right, brother.
But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, Alex, I want to be clear here. In the day that this was written, slavery was a commonplace thing, and it was not separated by the races. Sometimes it was separated between the citizens and non-citizens of Rome, and some of the other things like that. So slavery was a real thing. Mm-hmm. And at this point, Peter is instructing us to be submissive to our masters with all fear or reverence, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And nowadays, we reckon that more to employers, don't we?
We really do. Let me say what this is not about. This is not Scripture legitimizing human trafficking.
Right.
This is not God's holy word, endorsing slavery. And I've had, Jim, in debates at colleges and dialogues with atheists. And frankly, I've had some dialogues with those that were very much into like critical theory and DEI. They would say, oh, well, Alex, this Bible that you speak of so lovingly, do you not know it says, slaves, obey your masters? Now, let's unpack this just a bit. The word there in verse 18, and I realize, in the King James Bible, this translated master, and with the slavery that existed for a short time in colonial America, it might sound like, something out of Gone with the Wind. I'm not talking about that. It means authority figure. This could be rendered, students, be subject to your teachers. Employees, be respectful and subject to your employer. Children, be respectful to your parents. This is not, although full context here, like you said, Jim, slavery has existed throughout history, and slavery is unjust. Human enslavement is unjust. But if a Christian slave were to be loving and gracious to someone who did not deserve it, like their captor, that would be a strong witness. One thing we can say, that we're to be a strong witness even to those who we feel don't deserve it, because we didn't deserve God's grace either. But you cannot cherry-pick 1 Peter 2:18 mm-hmm. and try to argue that the Bible is legitimizing human trafficking or human enslavement. It doesn't really.
It does not. Absolutely. Yeah. So thank you. I appreciate your mentioning that. We all suffer sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we earn it. Sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. So, when you know you've done wrong and you're being punished, endure it.
Yeah.
Because you know you got it coming. Now, if you're being punished for something you may not be responsible for or something you didn't do, guess what? Endure it anyway.
Yeah.
Because that way you're showing the master, you're showing your employer that you are able to do what they ask you to do. And if something comes up short, you're willing to take the punishment for it too and still give God the glory because you still ultimately service God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 19 and 20, we often like to always see ourselves in the best light. And I know, look, there are people and you work hard at work and somebody else got the credit and you've given your best and somebody else gets a promotion perhaps. In this fallen world, there are going to be injustices. There just are. But one thing that we can depend on is a sovereign God who is a just God, sees all, knows all. And this is a call to do right, be godly, take the high road. The Bible says, humble yourself before God and he will exalt you in due time. And Jim, I've seen that happen. God is faithful. God is not indifferent. And then verse 21 goes on, it says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. I mean, if anybody deserved the best treatment possible, it would have been the Lord Jesus. And yet, look, if they would betray and crucify the sinless Son of God, well then, who were we to not have our own share of suffering in this fallen world? Would you agree, Jim?
Absolutely. you know, we have to be attentive to what we do and what we don't do. And we have to be attentive to what the Word tells us to do more than all so that we can be faithful to that Word. Hey, folks, we're going to take your phone calls in just a minute. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Jim Stanley with Dr. Alex McFarland. Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
Because of listeners like you, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
My cup's about as empty as this wilderness I'm in. I lost my way with the loss of love that came to a bitter end. So far from running over, so close to giving in. It's gonna take the hands that made me to make me.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley along with Dr. Alex McFarland this afternoon, and we're getting ready to take your phone calls at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Want to let you know we are live this afternoon, so go ahead and give us a call. Alex is here, so he'll be answering most of the questions, and so, man, this is your day if you've got a question. Today's the day to get it in. 888-589-8840. As we get some callers in, Alex, I understand you've got a Facebook question you want to respond to.
Yeah, thanks. And it's a special day also because Jim Stanley is back, and we welcome you, my dear brother Jim. But Vicki is writing in on Facebook and says, several weeks ago, Bert and I mentioned about things we'll be doing in heaven. And did we reference working in heaven? Well, that's a great question. Let me just say this, that, you know, the cartoons about sitting on a cloud plucking a harp, I don't really think that's how it's going to be in heaven. And we don't completely know, but the Bible tells us in many places that we will be with Jesus in the paradise of God. And it talks about eating the leaves of the tree of life, which will be for the healing of the nations. But Bert and I were commenting on Revelation 22:3, and it says there will be no more curse, you know, the fall of Genesis 3, for it says, the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will serve him and worship him. Revelation 22:3. And Jim, we were speculating that heaven, for one thing, is not going to be boring. It is there's going to be, as Chuck Swindoll said, worship, instruction, and fellowship. But, you know, Billy Graham theorized that, you know, we're probably going to have things assigned to us as stewardship. Now, there's going to be mansions in heaven, and I don't know what we're going to do completely. I don't know. But I'll say this. God doesn't do anything that is not purposeful and meaningful. And I believe, Jim, that heaven is going to be ideally suited for us because, you know, down here we have interests and skills and abilities. And imagine being able to experience those things in heaven without the fall and sin. Now, my dad was a farmer, and my dad would be rather farming than anything else. And the day my father passed, by the first afternoon, I'm sure he had put a disc on the tractor and turned half of heaven to plant something. I don't know. But we're going to do things in heaven. It will be meaningful, purposeful, and, you know, the Bible says that into the ages we will experience and enjoy him. Bird and I write about this, but I want to recommend one book, and then we'll go to our call board. There is a book that just might be the best book about heaven and eternity, and it's by Randy Alcorn. Jim, are you familiar with Randy Alcorn?
Yes, sir. He's an excellent writer.
He really is. We've had him on AFR before, and he has written a book about heaven and eternity. And anyway, he talked a little bit speculative, but some of the things we'll do in heaven, but it won't just be sitting on a cloud staring at each other.
No, no, it won't. All right, folks, 888-589-8840. Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, and we welcome Jonathan this afternoon. Jonathan, welcome aboard.
Hey, guys, thank you. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes. Yes, sir, you have a question?
What I want to ask is to me, something that's kind of popped up in front of me a couple times here lately with everything in the news. But I had someone say yesterday at church that the geopolitical Israel that was created by the UN in 1948 is not the same Israel that we study and hear about. I think they quoted 2 Samuel or quoted that verse. And I just wanted you guys to unpack that for me because I just tend to think that they're God's chosen people and their descendants. I think people are questioning whether you can question the Israeli government or not, but I just wanted to see what your thoughts were.
All right, Jonathan, that's a great question. Alex?
You know, it's interesting because in the last, I'm going to say 6 months, I've heard a lot of Christians say that the modern state of Israel is not the biblical Israel, and therefore we as Americans or as American evangelical Christians, we don't have to support. I completely disagree with that sentiment. And I realize, look, you know, King David, King Solomon, they are long since dead and gone. But the Bible does prophesy, and Bert and I write about this in our new book, that shortly before the return of Christ, that Israel will be regathered. Now, May 14, 1948, and it was not the UN that, quote, formed the modern state of Israel. It really was not. There was a couple of people, David Ben-Gurion, who was the first prime minister, and Chaim Weizmann, who was a Jewish chemist who was knighted by England. It was really Winston Churchill and Lord Balfour and then President Harry Truman. Those three leaders, Balfour, Churchill, and Truman, that worked along with David Ben-Gurion and some, and I'm going to use the term because it's not a bad word, British Zionist. There were Jews that wanted a homeland, and they were reborn as a nation May 14, 1948. 12 minutes in, I'm very proud to say, 12 minutes into the existence of Israel, then President Harry Truman said the United States recognizes the sovereign nation of Israel. Now, I would say this, that it is absolutely the rebirth of Israel is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Genetically, look, all of the Jews in the world are genetically descended from four females, and this is the Jewish Federation of North America that says this, and I agree with them. You've got Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And then the land, I mean, if it's not Jerusalem and the land of Israel, then where on planet Earth could it be? Mm-hmm. Folks, I'm not saying that we agree with everything the Israeli government may or may not do, but by historical precedent, by divine right, the land belongs to Israel. The people are the Israelites. This is biblical prophecy before our very eyes, and American citizens, certainly American Christians, have every incentive. It's just, it's right, it's biblical to stand for Israel and their right to exist.
Amen. All right, Jonathan, thanks for the call this afternoon. Going to Will in Ohio. Will, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you all. Enjoy your show and appreciate y'all.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I had a sort of a two-part question, if you have time, about assurance and then evangelism. First of all, is it possible for a person who's truly been born again to not be aware of it? And I know that's, so there's some related issues with that. And then the second part is, as far as encouragement for people sharing their faith with family or friends, how many times, what's the average number of times that a person hears the gospel or parts of the gospel before they're truly saved?
Let me jump in on this. And first of all, God bless you, sir. You know, getting into heaven is not a theology lesson. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. And I do think it's possible for people to be saved, and maybe they don't have all that great a grasp on all that was part of the salvation transaction, and maybe they can't explain it or articulate it. But to be saved, there are some things that we have to comprehend and assent to. One is that we're sinners, and that our sin separates us from God. And that there's nothing we can do. We can't try to be good enough, but that we are sinners, and God is holy, and we are guilty. And then we have to also understand that Jesus, the Son of God, he paid our sin debt on the cross, and then we put our faith in Jesus and what he did, and then we say, Lord, please, you might phrase it in different ways, Lord, please forgive me. Dear Jesus, please save my soul. Or, Lord, whenever I die, please take me to heaven. I believe in you. There are a myriad of ways that we might verbalize it, but we're admitting our guilt. We're trusting who Christ is and what he did, and then we've asked him, and that births that relationship with Jesus. And so they may not know words like atonement or regeneration or justification. It's like I say, it's not a theology exam. But there, just as a baby is delivered, well, a person is born again the minute they put their faith in Jesus. Now, Jim, before we look at the second part of that question, is there anything else that you wanted to say about that?
No, sir. I think that, you know, because of where we are today, the resources that one needs to know more about their salvation, to know more about what it means to walk with God, those resources are available. But I would be careful of all the things on the internet, because some of those are good and some of them are not. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of a couple of apps that are out there for believers to help them know more about the Bible. I would recommend Logos with no problem. Bible.is, I believe, is the correct website. For another Bible app that's being used, and we've known those folks for a long time and would recommend them. So if you're looking for tools on how to improve your walk with God and what it means to be saved and what it means to walk out that salvation with fear and trembling, as the Scripture talks about, then there are things that are available for that. Billy Graham, his website has an incredible not FAQ, but kind of like an FAQ where you can go and Basically, you're asking Billy Graham a question. And so it comes back with some of the resources that he's done over the years. I can't see Billy Graham steering you wrong. You know,
Jim.
Yes, sir.
Forgive me. But let me give you a website, folks. Peacewithgod.net. Mm-hmm. That's Billy Graham's website. Now, and Billy Graham was this great evangelist. We know these people. We've worked with them quite a bit. And listen, Billy Graham's content, I think, is very trustworthy. The caller was asking about how to witness to family members, and mm-hmm. sometimes that's not always easy. But check out the website, peacewithgod.net, and that's Billy Graham explaining how to be saved, explaining how to share the gospel, answering all kinds of questions. And hey, we in North Carolina, we think Billy Graham is right on the money.
And he's going to have the fourth place in the trilogy.
Yeah, we love Billy Graham. But God bless you for caring about the sharing of the gospel, sir.
Absolutely. You know, part of his question was about evangelism. And there are really two kinds of evangelism. There's the kind where you go in and beat somebody over the head. And then there's the kind that you just live it out in front of them. Make sure that your life is so close to a reflection of Christ that they see him through you, and be that kind of witness as well, and be there for them in those times. Well, let's talk to Pat calling from North Carolina. Speaking of North Carolina, Pat, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you so very much for taking my phone call.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening.
I was asking, like I was telling the guy I was talking to earlier, I've been saved since August the 2nd, 1995, and I've always wondered if, you know, God said that he made, let us make man in our own image. And, you know, when they laid him down, they made woman, correct?
Out of Adam's rib.
That's correct. So my question is this, and I mean, you might think it's crazy, but I've always wondered, how old do you think God made Adam and Eve?
Yeah, that's a great question. A number of scholars, we don't know for sure, but because Jesus is called the second Adam, and Jesus began his ministry at age 30, a lot of scholars, and I think about C.S. Lewis, I think about the late Harold Wilmington, and some other scholars like Warren Wiersbe, they felt like Adam might have been 30, because Jesus, the second Adam, the perfect Savior, was 30 when he began his ministry. And it's also been kind of theorized, 30 is kind of the prime of life. You're young, you're mature, but you're still young, you're healthy, everything works. And maybe Adam, think about it, though he was moments old, God created him fully mature, and chronologically might have been about age 30. But it's one of those things we just don't definitively know. But Jim, what would you say?
I'd agree with that, because he was expected, he was made with the expectation of following God's commands and being able to work the garden. Mm-hmm. Now, the garden wasn't going to work itself. It was not going to be the languishing work that we do now, but he was going to tend to the garden. He was going to tend to different things that God told him to tend to. He was responsible for naming the animals. And so, you know, I would not want to trust a teenager with naming all the animals as they were created.
Jim, you want to hear something really cool?
Please.
I heard a very scholarly lecture on animal names. And the Bible says Adam named the animals. Most of the animal names, bovine, they said these names existed from time immemorial, and we don't know exactly where they came from. I think they came from the mind of Adam.
Yeah, amen. Well, folks, that's been Exploring the Word today on American Family Radio. If we didn't get to your call, feel free to send us an email to word@afr.net, word@afr.net. Alex, thanks for letting me hang out with you.
Jim Stanley, thank you. You're such a blessing. And folks, thanks for listening to the American Family Radio Network, Exploring the Word. Hey, tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.